it basically, and this person, and so this man, as he was working with this lady, he began to explore a little bit of her life, and she began to trust him and have feel more comfortable with him and go back to some of these areas. She shared a story about her grandmother where her grandmother was on a farm and she'd gone to visit her grandmother and there was some new chicks in the farm. And so the grandmother went out and brought a little chick and she gave it to the little girl, and the little girl was only at this time, this is a lady now that's in her 30s, struggling with fear of birds. But when she was a little girl, the grandmother put the chick in her hands, and out of her excitement and everything, she squeezed it so hard that the chick died. So the grandmother at first, she got, oh, okay, well, you got to be careful. So she went and got another chick. She told the little girl, be careful how you hold the chick. You can't hold it too tightly, okay, or else we could have the same problem. So she went and got another chick. She gave it to the little girl, but in her excitement, she squeezed that one, and that one died too. And when that happened, her grandmother really got angry with her and really scolded her and really showed a tremendous amount of dissatisfaction or whatever you want to call it. Anyways, and that was traumatic for that young girl. Now, later on in life, she became a Christian and everything else like that, but she was still afraid of birds. And once they went back into those memories and asked Jesus to come back into those memories and heal that situation, and for this little girl to forgive her grandmother for having that kind of a reaction, because that was sinful. It wasn't right the way her grandmother dealt with it. Jesus came in and healed that, and now she can go out and enjoy the birds in the summer. Now, that's just a little example, but this is where some of us, there's all kinds of issues and all kinds of things that happen in our life as children that are affecting us today if we don't go back and ask the Holy Spirit to help us dig that stuff up, okay? Some of us are, other symptoms of these kind of things are depression, masks that we put on sometimes, wrongful relationships where we get into codependency with somebody, inappropriate sexual relationships are often the root of things that have happened in the past. We may find ourselves judging other people or being critical of other people. Where's that coming from? And some of us, have struggled with fantasy or delusions. And so there's an unreality. And the unreality is a lot of us as Christians, we really need to recognize that there has been a wounding and the need for God to heal us. And so sometimes we'll go up and we'll ask the pastor or somebody to pray for us, can you pray for my healing because, this relationship over here this week's not working out very well or this or that or whatever. But really, we're just not going to the roots of the problem. So that's about all I wanted to say. I'm going to ask Barb to come up and give one more example, just to make it more real, of people that have been ministered to. But we're working together in this. We don't have all the answers. We've gone through a lot of healing in our own lives. We've got training in this area. We're under the authority of this church. We bring things to the people in leadership. They've given us the freedom to do this, which we really appreciate. We want to come alongside people and help. And so we're just saying that this ministry is available. If somebody's struggling in an area, they can either come to myself or Barb. Sometimes people want to be ministered to people or one people, one of us. There's other people in the congregation that work in this area too. Darcy and Kirsten have a lot of understanding in this area. I know they've already helped some people in this area. Darcy's busy working full-time. I'm off. I'm sort of semi-retired right now, so I have more time. But, he's another person in Kirsten that I know love to help people. And I'm just going to get Barb to share another example of when we were in ministry. Actually, this was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he can talk till the cows come home. And I'm more brief, so I'll be quick. But one profound instance when we were praying for an individual, and I know a couple of you already have heard this story, but it is probably the most profound way that I have ever been in a prayer meeting and seen how God lifted something off a person. We were up, I believe it was in Hay River, in a group praying for individuals, and there was a video series, and then there was times of prayer after that. So this lady It was a weekend workshop. We noticed that she hung her head in shame a lot when she was walking around the workshop during the weekend. And, you know, none of us really knew why or what the root of it was, but she happened to be in the group that I was in, and I wasn't the leader, I was the co-leader, and while we were praying for this individual in a small group setting, she shared that when she was a little girl, she was probably 5 or 6 or 7, she wet her bed. And she said that her mother wrapped her in a wet bed sheet, the peed bed sheet. So it was, you know, hard for her to talk about, but that memory came back during that time of prayer. And so the leader, he prayed with her and asked Jesus to go back to that memory. Everybody in the group just kind of sat there and just prayed alongside him. And he asked the Lord to come in and heal that memory for her. And honestly, I was so affected. This woman, you know, it wasn't a 2-minute prayer. It took some time, right? I'm just giving you a shorter version. She went from carrying so much shame over her in person. And after the time of prayer, where he said, you know, Lord, you come in and heal that memory. And actually, the Lord came into that memory and gave her a picture. And the prayer leader said, what is the picture that you see? And she said, the Lord took the wet bed sheet and wrapped it around himself. And I could just imagine that Jesus would do that for a little child, right? He cares so profoundly about us. And sometimes we are so wounded as young children. And, you know, for that lady, after that prayer time, she was able to put her head up high and actually have a sense that she was worth something. And I actually saw a big change in her countenance the rest of the weekend. So I'm just saying that God cares about every little facet of our lives, and that was, for me, so profound. And he's still doing that today. And he still wants to heal us if we're willing to go back and look at some of those things. And sometimes it's something, wow, I never knew there was anything attached to that memory, but sometimes there is. And we're not professionals. We're just willing to listen to God and pray with people. And we find a great satisfaction in doing that, and a great privilege. So thank you for allowing us to go there. Yeah.
Amen. 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 So we have different people, and Tim and Barb are kind of leading this. So just so you know, this is digging down deeper. It's not just taking a Band-Aid off and keeping on putting a Band-Aid on. We want to find out where the root of this is. You know, where does this really start in our lives? And that was a great presentation. Thank you. There's a lot of things going on in our church right now, and it's exciting. God is moving. There's lots of new developments, and things are going on with the thrift store, and I'm just going to ask Darcy to come on up, and Darcy's always brief, so I don't need to worry about that, but he's going to share a little bit about the job descriptions and the volunteers, because we're not too far away from opening up. We're probably about 6 or 8 weeks away. Thanks, brother.
Okay, so yeah, God is moving, lots of things happening, and a whole new ministry that's going to enable, you know, Renew to start funding more ministries downtown and helping more people. So we're at that point. The website is now up and going. Cody, can you bring that up? Still under construction, but on there you'll see the only thing on there is really, if you go under employment and opportunities, you'll see there's some postings under there and where to put in, you know, an application. So we need lots of volunteers, and I'll be putting some applications back out on the desk. You have to fill out an application. This is a business that we have to run it as a business. It's set up as a standalone nonprofit organization. So there'll be a board that we have to put together that'll be running this, and then, you know, the profits from that, as we say, will stay in our community to fund a lot of ministries that we're involved in and future ones that are coming. So it's not like the kitchen. You can just show up and say, I'm here to work. We have to make schedules. We have to know people are there. So fill out an application. And once the board is together, then they will go through these and start making a schedule of people that they need. Don't be offended if you don't get on the first round, if we got a lot of people, but as it grows, we're going to need more. So make sure you do that. If you fill out a paper one, if you don't have access to a computer, and you see up there where it says employment opportunities, you can get that there. But we'll leave paper ones out here. If you want to fill those out, just give them back to myself or Kirsten next week, and we'll make sure they get to the board when that's together. And we're going to have about two to four part-time paid positions, so there's application there for that too. So, you know, not application, just a kind of a job description. So just send your resume in or give your resume to us and tell us what you're interested in. And the times, and again, when the board's together, they'll be calling some of you for interviews for that. And then there's the manager position. It's only one of those, by the way. But it's quite a lengthy job description, so read it there. I mean, it is a business. We have to fulfill all the requirements of a business legally and everything, so we need a manager who can oversee this whole thing. There's a lot of qualifications on here, so read them. If you think you meet some of these, or most of these, and you want to put your resume in, please do so. And again, either online or to myself. But there's a lot of exciting things, and the time crunch is on. Like, we're, 2 months away? Hopefully, 2 to 3 months. So we need to start getting... What? Okay, well, 6 weeks. Yeah. We don't really know, but it's close. So we need to start getting this kind of stuff organized now and get our schedules done. You know, and we really need the manager position to come on, because then he's going to have a lot of responsibility of doing a lot of this, and the part-time people. He or she? What you want me to say, like, what was Trudeau's word, like something person kind now or something? All-inclusive? So get your applications in, get the volunteer. We'll put some at the back. There'll be some on the bulletin board. Go on here. If you know people who are qualified and they're believers, especially for, the part-time and the manager, they need to be strong believers so that they envision what we're envisioning for this ministry and to impact our community with it. So thank you.
Amen. And that is exciting. There's lots of stuff happening. We don't normally have this many announcements. I'm sorry about that, but sometimes we just got to inform. You need to know. One thing we're going to do, though, we're here to minister. We're here to worship God. We're here to hear from God. We're going to pray for Brianna right now. She was here this morning. You don't know who she is. She's like a brand new Christian. She's been a believer for about a month, struggling with addiction. She's been clean for a long time. She came here this morning and something set off and she left. We just got to pray for her. We got to ask for protection. Will you join me in that? God, thank you for Brianna. And I don't know where she is right now, but I pray that you'll give her peace. And Lord, that you'll take away the desire of the streets and back to the drugs. You have saved her life. And we believe that. And we just stand in the promises that you've made to her. Lord, we believe that she's part of this family. She's one of our sisters. And God, I just ask that right now you just keep her from the grip of the enemy. We know, God, that the enemy has only one thing in mind, and he wants to destroy her. We just pray against that. In the powerful name of Jesus, we bind up the enemy. We bind up her old and her old dealers and anyone else that is going to try to destroy her life, and that she will not even be able to get a hold of them, and that she'll get back home where she belongs. And we pray for her protection and her safety in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're seeing people come to Jesus, but we're also seeing that there's a lot of opposition from the enemy. The enemy does not like that. He does not want to lose any of these people who were once his. You know what? That's for many of us too. Let's be honest. A lot of us were one time in the other camp. Now we're in the camp of the King, and we're going to keep serving him. We're going to keep following him. And look what he's doing. Look at how many are here today. Look at how he's growing this ministry and things like what's going on with Lotus Club and our dream that we talked about last week of that turning into perhaps a dream center where people could get recovery and Christian Christ-based recovery and addiction counseling, all the things that go along with that. We're continuing to pray for that too. Amen? Good, good. I hope you're with me. I was thinking about, Tim said, about the men's meeting on Friday night, and he was just sharing about how at the last men's meeting that he was at, they were talking about, the men were talking about how the dealing with the things that they were afraid and their insecurities, and how it's unusual that men will do that. And I was just thinking about, you know, guys who are maybe sitting here now, and they're going, oh, you mean that's what I'll get to do if I come on Friday? I'll get to go and talk about my insecurities and my fears. Oh, I think I'm going to go. That sounds like a really, really good idea, right? So don't let that scare you away. I think it's a great thing, and you'll find out that it's a good environment, it's a safe place, it's a good thing. When men get together, I'll tell you, when men get together and pray, when men get together, and I mean the women are doing it too, but when the men start to get together to pray and show that we are following Christ, and it's okay to do that as a man, it's all right, I'm going to follow Jesus, and I don't care what the world says, I don't care if it doesn't seem macho, it doesn't seem manly, it doesn't matter, because I am a follower of Jesus. Amen? All right, now we're going to get into the Word. Oh, and this is so different today. And I feel bad for those of you who are here for the first time, but you'll find out why in a bit. We're going to read from Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And it's a psalm that tells a story. This sound just sounds different to me. Does it sound kind of real? Yeah, real thick. I don't know. Bear with me. It's a psalm that talks about when God saved the Israelites, and he led them through the sea, and he brought them from Egypt into a promised land. But that what happened for the Israelites is that they turned on God. That's better. I like that much better. It feels like it's me now. You know, and they groaned and they muttered and they complained against God. And this is just a recollection of that. So read with me today Psalm 78, verse 13, telling the story of the deliverance from the hands of the Egyptians. Psalm 78, verse 13. And he divided the sea and he led them through. He made the water stand firm like a wall. He guided them with a cloud by day and with a light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the desert and he gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out from the rocky crag. He made water flow down like the rivers. But they continued to sin. They continued to sin against him, rebelling in the desert against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food that they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the desert?" And when he struck the rock, water gushed out and the streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us food? Can he supply meat for his people? And when the Lord heard them, he was very angry, and his fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel. And here's the last verse. For they did not believe in God. For they did not believe in God, and they did not trust in God's deliverance. They did not believe in God. They did not trust in God's deliverance. The Israelites didn't put their faith in God. Even though he'd shown himself over and over and over again as being faithful, even though he provided for them all along, here they were in the desert going, "Come on, God, can't you do better than this? We're eating this manna day after day after day. It's getting kind of tiring. How about some meat? Right? How about something else?" And really, they came to God almost raising their fists and saying, "If you don't, God, if you don't do this, then we're not going to follow you anymore. If you don't provide for us in the way that we want to be provided for, we are not going to be your people. We're going to go do whatever we feel like doing instead." David in the psalm says that they willfully, verse 18, they willfully put God to the test. And I think that we do the same thing today. We put God to the test. And we're going to talk about that a bit. They demanded the food that they craved. How many times don't we just demand exactly what we want? Here's what I want. I'm craving for this, God. You better give it to me. You better do this, God. Or else, right? And it, you know, a couple other verses that just tie into this whole thing about how we put God to the test. He says in verse 41, "Again and again, they put God to the test. They put God to the test, and they vexed the Holy One of Israel." And then in verse 56, the theme again comes up. "But they put God to the test, and they rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes." So let's get clear about this morning. You and I are in no position to put God to the test. Let's get clear about this. I was put on this earth to glorify God. I was put on this earth to serve Him, not so that He would serve me. He is sovereign God. He is the King. He is Almighty, and I am not, and neither are you. And we are in no position to put God to the test. In some ways, it's even what Adam and Eve did, if you think about it. The tree in the garden from which they ate was really a test of obedience for them. But when they listened to the serpent, when they listened to the enemy, what they were really doing is they were trying to put God to the test, because they were really going, I wonder if He's really going to do what He said He's going to do. Let's test Him, right? The enemy said to them, you will surely not die. Come on, you're not going to die. And they kind of said to each other, well, let's put God to the test. Let's see if He's serious about this or not. And He proved Himself to be pretty serious about this. We cannot put God to the test, and God doesn't hold to this any more favorably today than He did 2,000 years ago or whatever happened, whatever time, you know, where people put God to the test. We can't shake our hands or our fists at God or give Him an ultimatum, because we need to understand who we are and who He is. He is Almighty God. Amen? He is the one who created us. He is the one who loves us. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who has a purpose for me, even though sometimes I don't understand what that purpose is, and I don't always get His timing. He is still God, and I am not. And that's important to know. And I know that's probably, you know, Christianity 101, but it's important that we bring it out sometimes. We call ourselves Potter's Hands. I love that name because it gives us that idea that, you know, He's the potter. He is the one with the power. He's the one who's shaping us. We're not the ones that are shaping Him. He shapes us. Paul says in Romans chapter 9, but who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Who are you? Who do you think you are? Like, you're a sinner. You are in no position to give God instructions. Here's a lightning bolt for you. God doesn't work for you. Who are you, O man, that you talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to Him who formed it, why did you make me like this? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but there's many of us who've had that conversation with God. Why did you make me with this? Why did you give me this body? Why did you give me, you know, this family or this, whatever it is? We say to God, why did you do this? Who are you, man? Why did you make me like this? Does the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay whatever he desires? Yeah. Because He's the potter, and He will use the clay. In some pottery, He will use for noble purposes and some for common use. Because He is God. He's in control. So I want to make this kind of really clear today, and maybe I already have, that God is in control. God is sovereign. God is the one who gets to decide what happens in our lives, and that we can't question or test Him. And as a matter of fact, we don't need to, because He's already proven Himself. God is, we don't need to put Him to the test. I don't need to put Him to the test. God has already proven who He is to me. Amen. He has proven that He loves me. He's proven how powerful He is, right? We do not need to put God to the test. The Father sent His Son, Jesus. He sent His Son, Jesus, so that we could be forgiven, so that we would have hope and life, so that we wouldn't have to be ruled by addictions and all the other things that go on that chain us in our lives. Man, God's already proven Himself. I don't need to put Him to the test. And so here's the point that we start with today, is that when it comes to the purpose of God, when it comes to the nature of God, when it comes to the timing of God, when it comes to the heart of God, we don't question Him. We do not put Him to the test. The only time that we test God, or that we maybe try him is a better word, is when it comes to his promises. Because he makes promises that God keeps. That's something that I love about God, that when he promises, it is sure. Amen. We can hold him to his word. Amen. We can hold him to his word. When God makes a promise, you can go, okay, I can bank on this. I can bank. I'm not questioning his integrity. I'm not questioning his timing. I'm not questioning his characteristics or who he is, his attributes, if you will. But I can ask him about his promises, and I can stand firm on whatever the promises are that he's made. Amen. Amen. He says, I'm never going to leave you. That's a promise, right? I am never going to leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will always be with you. You can stand on that. You can bank on it, because it's true. Amen? He says, yeah, don't hold back. He says, I'll save you. I promise you. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. That's a promise. Stand on it. And if you have received him in your heart, you can walk in that confidence. You stand on that promise. I'm holding you to this, God. It's true. I'm saved. He forgives, he says. He promises. He says, not only do I forgive, but I forget what you've done. I no longer remember anything you've done. That's a promise. And even though you might remember it, or your family, or your husband, or someone else keeps reminding you of it, God doesn't remember it, because he promises. Those are the things that we can stand on and be firm about. Amen? Can you think of any others? What other promises? How else has he promised? He's going to save you. He's going to forgive us. He'll never leave us. What's that? Okay, we're going to get there. Hang on. You're ahead of me now. Well, let's just get to it. And he promises eternal life. I love that. Thank you. You know what? That's good. Let's remember that too. Here's a promise. We are going to live with him forever and forever. Give him a big hand for that. All right, Doug, you're always jumping ahead of me, I'm telling you. It's like you're reading my mail. Malachi chapter 3. Here's one of the times when God talks about how we may test him. And I'm going to read it first, and then I'm going to apologize. All right? Let me read it first. And so here, just a little bit of a context. He's talking to the Israelites. This is later on. This is about 400 or 500 years before Christ came. This is after the prophet Ezra, and the Israelites are doing their own thing. God's people are not bringing the sacrifice to him anymore, and when they do bring an animal to be sacrificed, it's blemished, or it's limping, or it's partly dead already, and they think, well, let's just bring this one, because it's going to die anyways. We might as well just put it on the altar. And here's what God says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. And so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees. You have not kept them. Return to me. Did you hear that? Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? This is God speaking. Will a man rob God, and yet you rob me? But you ask, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now hear these words. Test me in this. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Wow. And I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and I will prevent the vines of the fields from casting their fruit. In other words, the fruit's falling off the trees prematurely. I will prevent that from happening to you, and all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord God Almighty. This is at least one time in the scriptures where God says, you can test me on this. You can trust that when I tell you that this is my word, that my word is good. You can know this for a fact, that if you give to me, you give what is deserving to me as God. You give the first fruits of your offering. You bring me your best, that I will open the windows. I'll open the storehouse of heaven, and I'm going to pour such blessings upon you. You can't even imagine the kind of return you're going to get on this. I am going to pour out such a blessing on you that all the storehouse, all the storage rooms you got won't be able to hold what I'm going to give you. And now here's the apology. I told you I was going to read this and then make an apology. My apology is I haven't done a very good job at teaching on this. And if you're here for the first time, you're going, oh man, here I am in church and there's that preacher again talking about money. The reality is, if you've been here for 10 years, if you've heard me speak one time on this in the last 10 years, and this is maybe twice, okay, I do not speak about this very often, and it's because I'm not very good at it. And I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, I'm not comfortable with this subject, I avoid it, but it's important, and I've been convicted to talk about it, because in some ways you're being robbed of the blessing if you don't hear this. But I'm sort of the same as most of you. I've been turned off by the preacher who talks about money all the time. And probably, maybe, some of you are here today because, you know, we make a very small deal about money. As a matter of fact, the place where we put money that's got donations, most of us don't even know where it is. We hide it. You know, it's the best kept secret. If you're going to, you got to ask around, where can I give money to this place? Well, don't tell anybody, but there's this place in the back there, and all you got to do is, and then when you get to the back, you can hardly find, you don't even know where the hole is to put the thing. It looks like you need a key to get into it. So we are not very good. I am not very good at promoting money. And I have, just like many of you, I've been turned off by the TV evangelist who, and all of them, so, not all of them, but many of them who have built their kingdoms on the backs of dollars. It's become a money-making business rather than about ministry and about saving lives and souls, right? I've been turned off on that. I've heard those speakers before saying, you know, give, 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 and they spend 30 or 40% of their time talking about giving money. I have not done that. I'm not good at this. And, you know, they say, if you give $1,000 to this ministry, you will be a Diamond Club member. We don't have any Diamond Club members here. And if you give $1,000, we will send you, a certificate that you are a Diamond Club member, and we're going to send you a glow-in-the-dark cross. Hallelujah, I'm going to get a glow-in-the-dark cross. Wow. And then there's always one more thing. And they say, and you, if you give us this money for this kingdom ministry, for this work, God will give you exactly what you need, which it seems should be common sense, like another measure of common sense or a little more discernment is what really we need when we're doing that sometimes, right? So what am I saying? Two things. I'm not good at this. I don't preach much about money. And I know also, here's the other reason. I know that there's a lot of people here who don't have much money. So that's probably been one of the reasons why I've held back on it. But God says in his word today, and he makes a promise to us. And that promise is, if you give to me and you make me a priority in your life, and if you will just bring the offering to me every time, and I'll be first, if I'll be first in your life, I'm going to bless you in ways you can't even imagine. And that could be financial, it could be relational, it could be in so many other ways, but that's the promise that God gives us. And that's a promise that we need to hold on to. This is not about you giving more money. It's really more about us saying to God, God, I want to show you how much I love you. I want to respond to you. I want to give you what is rightfully yours, and then I'm going to receive because I know that you are a God who gives. I want to just... I'm feeling better. I'm feeling like I'm not stepping on everyone's toes about this. Five quick things, and some of them might just be statements about what this means. First of all, I want to just say the first thing is that God takes this very seriously. our giving to God, our tithing or our giving of our offerings, God takes it seriously. And in Malachi 3, he says, why do you rob me? He uses that kind of a terminology. You are thieves. We are thieving from God when we don't give him what is rightfully his. So God takes this pretty seriously. God doesn't like it when we hold it all to ourselves. And the second thing, so the first thing, God says, this is really a form of robbery when we keep everything to ourselves. The second thing he says is that there's some consequences when that happens in our lives. When we hold tightly to everything that we think is mine, this is mine, my money, my stuff, my time, or whatever it is, when we have close fists, he says, what happens is that the fruit falls off of the vine early and the pests come in and they destroy your crops. That there's a consequence sometimes because we're not generous, because we don't want to give to God, because we hold back. And I want to be careful about this. I don't want to use this as a form of manipulation, so I just want to kind of leave it in your hands. Maybe even talk about it more personally from my own life. That I believe that there were times in my life, because I withheld back from God, there was like locusts that stole from me. I did not receive the blessing that God wanted to give me. That's all. That there's a curse that goes along with being stingy and selfish. It really is. And sometimes, I mean, you got to ask yourself this question. Maybe there's a roadblock. Just ask the question. Maybe the answer is no to this. But if you feel like there's a roadblock in your life, that you're not getting from God what you think you need to get, or you're not receiving the peace, or your prayers, you're wondering if they're even being heard, maybe the kink in the line of communication is a kink of us not bringing our first fruits to him. I'm just asking the question. They are examples of that, yes. The third thing is that not all of our tithes and offerings have to do with money. We can tithe to God in lots of different ways, I think. Our time can be a tithe. We offer this to God. We want to give him some of the best time we have. Your pickup truck might be a tithe as you give it to other people or as you help other people move. Right? So of our surplus, whatever we have, it's not always about money. It can be about other things. You might own a timeshare that you let other people use. You want to bless them. You want to bless their marriage. That can be a type of a tithe. I heard this week from a family member of mine. He's building onto a house that he's got. He's adding 3 bedrooms because he wants to see people from the church come as families, as couples, and help enhance marriages and so on. And I think that's just another example. That's sort of a way that we might tithe with our possessions or with the things that we have. You could plant a garden and give a portion of it, and that would be another example of how we might tithe in ways other than money. Are you following? So it can be time. It can be of our surplus, of our abilities, of our gift. And those are all really important things that we need to do. But here's the fourth thing. It's still about money. You know, just because you got a pickup truck and you let everybody use it doesn't mean you're tithing exactly the way God wants you to do. So it's still about money, and I want to just make sure this is clear. We still need to give to God. And I believe the reason that God thinks this is important and the reason why he desires this is because he wants us to love him more than we love our money. Money is a real personal thing. We take it very personally. We hold ours to our chest. We don't like to give it away too often. We don't want anyone to know how much we've got in our pockets at any given time. And sometimes it speaks a lot about where our hearts are. And be clear about this. God doesn't need your money. And matter of fact, this church doesn't need your money. Even though we don't have a lot of money, God's going to keep providing. I believe this with all my heart. God's going to keep providing. I don't know that we're ever going to have a lot of money in the bank. That's okay, because God's in control. But God does not need your money. God is not up in heaven sitting at the desk with an adding machine going, oh man, I'm short. I need, you know, I need Don to give more money. I mean, how am I going to get these people to give more? God isn't like that, okay? God has the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he also has the hills. So there's a surplus with God. There's always a surplus, right? So don't worry about God. He's got lots of money, and you don't give money to him because he needs it. You give money to God because you love him. Love him. Amen. That's really what it is. And that's true of any of the tithes or any of the offerings that we would bring to him. And that brings me to the fifth thing I want to say about offerings or tithes. And that is that when we bring God an offering, it's an act of worship. It needs to be an act of worship. It needs to be that I come to God and I say, God, this is what I want to give to you. You've given me so much. I can't think of a better way to say thank you, Lord. I can't think of a better way than to return it back to you, God. It's got to be an act of worship. It can't be an act of obligation where we're given because the preacher told me to give. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. If it's about obligation, it isn't anymore an offering. You follow that? It's got to be an act of worship. It's how I say thank you to God. It's how I express my gratitude. And it's such a wonderful thing, and I've learned this. Crystal and I learned this over the years because I would say that we weren't always good at this. We've learned to come to God with our offerings. We've learned that it's a part of worship. It's a part of how we come to God and we say, God, you're in control. You are amazing. And you've done so much for me. And God has promised in his word that when we do this, when we come with whatever that amount is, and you know, sometimes, I don't know, I'm getting off track here, but you worry about the amount, and you look at a tithe, and you think that's such a huge amount of money. And some of you are doing that right now. You're going, I don't know how we're going to do this. We can't even pay the Visa bill, and now this guy up here is talking about money. I don't know how this is possible. Well, you know what? Just don't worry about the amount right now. It'd be much better for you to just come to God and say, God, you make the amount. And maybe it's a toonie to start with. Maybe it turns into $10, whatever. Let God deal with you on whatever that is, on the amount. I think the criteria for me is it needs to be an amount that I can actually bring to God and worship him with and show him my gratitude. And that's something that can grow in your life. You don't need to start next week by bringing, you know, $5,000. That would be nice, but that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. It's not about the amount. Are you following me here? It's about the amount. It's about our heart. And it's about believing what, here's what the thing is, believing what God says, that when you do this, man, I am going to open up the window of heaven. I'm going to pour out blessing upon you that you can't even imagine. You will not even have enough storage rooms or garages to be able to handle everything I'm going to return back to you, because that's going to show you how pleased and how blessed you are by me. Amen? Test me. Test me and see whether this is true. Crystal, you want to come up here? I know she's not really ready for this, but this always works better when I don't tell her. Is this mine? You can stand right there. Couple things about that. I think that you need to hear from her today too. And know that this has been a process for us through our lives. That we're just going to have a talk, you and me, okay? I remember when we were first married and when we were going to seminary, I spent 8 years in the States going to school. We had 3 kids by the time I got out of seminary. Crystal couldn't work. She was taking care of kids, and I was going to school. We were dirt broke. Remember that? I remember, and I'm saying this because sometimes people look at us and they go, oh, wow, you guys are rich, you know, and we have been blessed by God. But we really understand what it's like to have nothing to. Right? You can talk anytime. Yeah. Yeah. Can you turn that on? Can she add something to that? Yeah. It's coming.
Okay, so promise, right, that God's going to provide for all our needs. And so we were in seminary.
And that's still...
There we go.
We were in seminary and very broke. But you know what? God still provided for all our needs. And because in Grand Rapids, we were in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and first of all, we Stan had worked in the mines and had saved up $8,500. We bought a house for $8,500. It was a dive. It was in a bad part of town. It was condemned.
Yeah.
But you know what? God provided. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We stripped the floors. We made that place nice. It was so cozy. It was cozy. And God provided everything. In fact, do you remember the cheese? Grand Rapids. We didn't. Some weeks, honestly, he had to preach on the weekend.
So that wasn't a very good preacher then either.
And so that he would get mileage. He would get gas mileage for his car so that we'd have enough money just to make it for the week. And that was. But you know, we were so happy. We didn't care. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the cheese. So they had this program on that if you were under a certain amount of money, they would give you a chunk of cheese. We're talking a chunk. A chunk of cheese. And so we had kids. Kids love cheese. So, you know, God provided, mm-hmm. even if we didn't have much.
Yeah. So we, thank you. We've been through that. Like we've been through, we know we have raised five kids. And there's been different times in our lives. There have been times in our lives when we've had more and times when we've had definitely a lot less. We learned, I think, two or three years into our marriage, if I'm remembering this, to start giving back to God. We remembered, and sometimes that was just $10 a week, and it'd be more and more and more. And then I know that when we came to Red Deer, we made more of a point of this. We said, no, we're going to give to God. We're going to keep tithing. We're going to give him the portion that is his, and we're going to worship. And I'm just thinking back to like 1997, too, when we were without work. I had five kids at home. We had five kids at home. The oldest was 16, and the youngest was 10. How often were we in overdraft?
We lived in overdraft.
We were afraid to get a credit card. We could have gotten a credit card. I was just deathly afraid of credit cards because I just knew what would happen. You guys know, right? Sometimes I knew that would be a weakness, and we'd get further and further into it. But I remember back in 1997, we just prayed. We said, God, we're in desperate need here. We're lost. There's no money. We hardly have any food. We have no job. Our kids are going to school. Provide for us. And here's what I'm trying to say is that I understand if you're struggling in that place right now. I really do.
Before you go on, do you know that the books didn't match? It did not match. Like what we spent and what came in. But what came in was less than what we spent. And yet we didn't have, it was weird. I remember that very clearly. Sorry.
No, interrupt me anytime. She's right. Like, so what she's saying is God was just providing. And sometimes it was just small increments. And since then, like a lot of you know, there's been some huge blessings in our lives that are inexplicable only because of God. And I believe it's because he, in our lives, I think that we're examples, at least we would attest to this, where he's opened those windows. He's blessed us in ways we never, ever would have imagined. And it's not because we're smart. I've never been accused of being smart. So it's not because I'm smart or you're smart or that we were particularly good at anything like that. It's only because God kept his promise. He kept his promise. I'm not going to go too much longer here, but just one more quick story is I remember we used to buy cars for $100. I'd never pay more than $100 for a car, mostly because we didn't have more than $100. And we had one car that was particularly memorable because every time Krista would drive it and she'd step on the clutch, a mouse would jump out. It didn't help with her driving. Anyways, okay. This is the story. I wanted Krista to come up because you need to know. I think that, here's what happened. Someone last week came to us with a prophetic, and I take that seriously, but I also weigh that. You know, what is God saying? But I couldn't get rid of this word this week. And the prophetic word was that me and her, we just need to pray for you. We need to pray that the windows of heaven, that we would see it as wide open. And that God's blessing is waiting for those who love him. And it was a word, it was a brief word, but she just said, listen, pray for that whatever that the spirit of debt or whatever the poverty or whatever it is that's holding people back, that perhaps God can use us as a conduit so that the windows of heaven can pour out upon all of us. And we're open to that. But be careful. I want to just say something about that. We're not praying today that you all get stinking rich. Hey, you know what? There are churches where they'll do that. We're not praying for that. Because there's a lot, why not? Someone goes, and there's a lot of, you got to understand this, that there's a lot of responsibilities that come with the money that God gives you. And there's temptations, and there's a lot of problems, and people will look at you differently, and people will want things from you, that, and your friends will treat you differently. So you might think you want some of this. It may not be what you want, or it may not be what you need. But what I am prepared to do today, what we are, is just ask you to stand as we end our service today, and we're going to sing that Do It Again song in a moment, but just to pray, we can pray for you. We want to pray today that we will see an open heaven, that the heaven above us is open, and that we'll stand on this promise today that if we give God our best, if we give him our first fruits, if we're open-handed and generous in the way we love each other and the way that we show our love to him, this is what we're going to pray, that that's going to fall upon this whole congregation. And that there'll be great blessings that are multiplied because of this. And that it will be used, now get this, not to make you stinking rich again, but it'll be used for kingdom purposes. Can you say amen to that? All right. Let's stand up. Why don't you come here? We're going to stand here so you can see us. Let's all stand. And if you can lift up your hands to God, and you don't have to, but you can just ask God as we pray to God today. Sovereign God, I'll pray first. Sovereign God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the creator of all things. There's nothing that is beyond your reach. And we just pray for this congregation. We pray for the people who are here. And we ask, Lord, for open heavens in the name of Jesus right now. Pray for open heavens. We pray, God, for your blessings to pour down, that you will provide with financial blessings, but also financial responsibilities as we respond to you, God. We want to be a people who bless you and who bring the offering into your place. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that you'll break off the debt that is handcuffing and choking some of us here. Just break that debt off, Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you will give us strategies so that we'll be able to move forward financially in our lives. Thank you, God. We know that it's your desire just to open up the windows of heaven and that you want to just fill the storehouses beyond what we can even imagine. And so we understand today that all of these blessings come from you. It's not because we're so smart or because we say the right words, but it's because you are a good and a giving Father. And so we ask, Lord, to let the heavens be open and that your face would shine upon us and that your kingdom would grow. God, that's ultimately really what we want to pray about, that your kingdom will grow. And thank you, Lord, that in our lives, in my life with Crystal, that you've proven to us over and over again that when we give, that when we are open-handed, that when we're generous, that there's a great blessing that follows that.
God, you are so good. You are so good. And everything that we have, God, is from you.
Yes,
God, I pray that even today you will help us to realize that more, that everything we have comes from you. And that you've promised that you are going to provide for everything we need.
Yes, God.
God, we want to thank you. Thank you that we have life.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you that you have given us so, so much. Some of us have more. Some of us have less. But you've given us enough for life.
Thank you, God.
To live life. And God, I just pray that you will break off the chains of poverty.
Yes, God.
That you will break them off.
Man.
That we will not have a poverty mindset. It's that
Jesus.
We, poor us, can't do that. No, because we will walk in your truth.
Hallelujah.
that you give us everything that we need for life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you are so good. And so we pray. I agree with Stan, Lord, that you will open up your heavens and you will pour down your blessings on this congregation. Name. God, that we may become a giving place.
Yeah.
In every way, God. Giving of our time, giving of our love to others, giving of our money,
yes,
Lord,
God.
Because it all belongs to you anyway. You have given it to us first. And now we can give it back to you because we love
you.
You are so good. You are our Father. And we thank you today.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, we just receive it, God. In faith, we speak that too. We receive it, we believe it. And Lord, you're a God who reveals himself. So we don't mind saying, Lord, just show us. Show us that your blessing is following and that we're being faithful. Show us, God, as you open the heavens above us. Thank you, Jesus. We're ready to receive it. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing that song now. Yeah. Okay. Do that. We're going to just pray for Anita. Why don't you just sit for a second? We will be done here soon. And Mark, they're going to sing that let do it again song, but I was just told that we need to pray for Anita. Why don't we just sit down a minute, okay, guys? Just one quick moment. We're going to pray for Anita. Anita has a new kidney, and apparently there's an infection. I just heard this now. Let's pray. God, for Anita, we pray for her right now. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that you've given her. We just pray against this infection. We ask, Lord, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, that you will remove it and that she will be well, that she will not have a temperature or fever. And God, that you will continue to complete the good work that you've begun in her. Thank you, Lord. You've shown us what an amazing God you are and that you are healing her. And we believe you for a complete healing in Anita's life and for the financial struggles that family is having as well. We pray, God, that you will provide like you always do in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
When we sing this song, I just want you to listen to these words because I think they might describe some of us. And think about that story of the people of Israel walking around the walls of Jericho, if you know that story. And listen to these words. Maybe this is you today. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But yeah, waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faith. And I'm still in your hands. And this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Let's worship God as we conclude our service today. Just give it to God. Just worship him. Show him that you love him. We're reminded of his faithfulness. He never leaves you. He'll never forsake you. And he provides what you need.